Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Publish Magazine, Broadcast, and Global Communities, where visionaries and those in the rise come together to create immediate impact. And today, I'm really thrilled because with me, I have Tammy Wise. Introducing interactive meditation into people's everyday lives, Tammy makes a spiritual practice a way of living. The journey from Broadway dancer to Tao minister taught her that alignment is where the grace is found, and aligning the mind, body, and spirit is a way of being. Tammy's metaphysical approach to living, body logos, active meditation, was her thesis for ordination into the Tao ministry and her platform to share Tao teachings. Tammy founded Body Logos, Inc., a holistic fitness, beauty, and wellness company committed to infusing meaningful self-discovery into mundane life. Her book, Theology, conveys her understanding of spiritual alignment as lifestyle as well as practice. This trilogy will be the backbone for upcoming Body Logos teacher training program. And Tammy, we are so thrilled to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
The work that you are doing really inspires me because the Tao is a big part of my life on a daily basis. And I would love to hear a little bit about the background and what brought you to this purpose and passion in your life.
Well, you know, I was always an athlete as a kid, and I started dancing at the age of 10, and all through my high school years danced in North Jersey Ballet Company before coming to New York City and starting my professional dance career here. And in ballet class, I really would feel as though I was the balloon string that held the earth and the sky together, you know, and that alignment had such tremendous grace. And when I'm in that alignment, I feel that everything in life is going to be okay. And all of the fears that come into our mental and emotional processes disappear when I'm in that aligned place. So it was very evident to me at a young age that I had something very special in the way that I moved. And many times the way ballet is taught can have a rigid quality to it. It's a lot of tension that's used. And so I just really made it my mission to use release more than tension to find the alignment that my instructors were trying to get me to do. So it's been quite a journey. I'm now 51 years old. I've been dancing since I was 10, so I've been at this a while.
That's wonderful. You know, one of my favorite things is yoga, and my yoga instructor who first introduced me to yoga was 72, when she was a ballet dancer and did not take up yoga until she was like in her 50s. And
yeah,
she was amazing. So I so appreciate what you're contributing to the world. So tell me a little bit about what you hope to contribute through your programs and the things that you're offering to the world in the way of contribution.
Well, you know, I think that having been in the fitness industry as well for as long as I have, I can see how for many people really being in their body feels like a burden. And so I'm trying to take the burden out of that relationship so that when you're with your body, you feel like you're with someone that you really care about and have a sense of appreciation and gratitude for that person.
That's so beautiful. It's such an interesting way of perceiving that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that body logos defined is the body's divine wisdom. And so I think it's perfectly named. So it's a way, Taoism, I'm a Tao minister, and it's Tao principles that are actually the foundation, as you mentioned in your introduction, to Body Logos, and it was my ordination into the ministry. So this is my way of teaching Taoism in a very modern arena, using the gym and fitness, and, you know, everybody's very, very fitness conscious, whether they're actually active at it or not. They know that it's something that they need to try to integrate into their life. So Body Logos is a way that you can actually begin to have a physical practice even when you're not exercising. So it's like there's a trilogy of books that are coming up, and the first one is really lifestyle. The second one is a fitness technique, and the third one is a relaxation technique. And so my hope is to generate a tribe of instructors that can share this work all over the place. And it's the biggest thing on my bucket list is to get this tribe of teachers together in the second half of my life.
Well, you know, Tammy, I love what you're doing, but because it combines a philosophy along with how it is actually physically manifested. Can you tell people a little bit that may not be familiar and listening what the Tao is about?
Well, in a nutshell, Taoism is a philosophy more than it is a religion, and it looks at nature as the supreme wisdom, and we look at the principles that happen in nature. Yin and yang are terms that come from Tao. The five element theory comes from Tao. So you're looking at the opposition of energy, you're looking at the circle of energy, and you're applying it to everything in life, because we are just a microcosm of the macrocosm of the universe. So you could just think of yourself as a mini universe, and by watching the grand universe, you get an understanding of who you are.
That is so beautiful. And, you know, we live probably about 8 months of the year in Mexico, right on the ocean. And the rest of the time we live in the mountains, and we have in the mountains pine trees that are really sturdy and so forth. But down in Mexico, we have beautiful palm trees that bend and just go with the wind. And that's a wonderful thing that I think that the whole Tao philosophy has taught me, that you're stronger when you are able to bend. And I was just wondering how, I think it's so wonderful how you've applied this to the ability to have flexibility in your body and your mental attitude in your program. Tell me a little bit more about how that works.
Well, there's two basic things I focus on in Body Logos. One is what I call a psyche muscular blueprint. Now, although our mind is the computer that helps us to think and reason and strategize, it's actually the soft tissues of our body that holds our emotions. So that means our muscles and our organs. So all of our skeletal muscles have these holding patterns that are kind of like the storyteller of our life. They're holding all of the beliefs that we are operating from. So when you look at someone's posture or your own posture, you're really able to get a sense of who they are or you are. And how you respond to an outside resistance starts to come to light. I mean, how you respond to an outside resistance will be significant to who you are emotionally as well as physically. And so every muscle group represents an emotional quality used for your own survival and maturity in life. So where you're weak, where you're strong becomes significant. Where you're coordinated, where you're uncoordinated becomes significant. What muscle groups start to take over for other muscle groups becomes significant. And it can really start to be quite interesting when you see how the posture starts to fall apart when up against an outside resistance. Like Tai Chi and Qigong are both Tao practices, physical practices. And it's very much about aligning mind, body, and spirit. with body logos, you're actually adding to that, how we organize and align that mind-body-spirit trilogy with the universal forces of gravity and centrifugal force. So you can really think of spirit simply as pure energy or your original nature. And so you're always trying to get yourself back to that original nature and get all of the things that are blocking that original nature from coming forward cleaned up. And then the second thing that we look at in Body Logos, besides the Psyche Muscular Blueprint, is how energy has a recycling nature. And with the proper alignment, your energy cycles in orbits that restores your energy resources and it improves your vitality and well-being. So you can think of your mind and your body as resources of energy that are exhaustible, but your spirit is a source of energy that is eternal. So we're always trying to stay plugged in to that pure spiritual energy. And so Body Logos helps to teach you how to do that.
That is so unbelievably beautiful and inspiring. So tell me a little bit about what inspired you to decide to write, series of books regarding the subject matter, which is so dear to me as well.
Turning 50. I've been working at this, as I said, for quite a long time. I guess it was 1997 that I was ordained a minister. So the beginning writings of this was my thesis for my ordination. So it's been in written word for some time, but it has evolved tremendously since that time. And when my 50th birthday was approaching, I guess you could say it was a little bit of a midlife experience. I won't go so far as to say crisis, but it was really inspired me to want to share what I've been working on. And I mean, I've got a private practice in New York City where I work with Body Logos and I work with the traditional Tao healing arts and always bring my Body Logos philosophy into everything that I'm doing. And I work with one person at a time or a classroom of people. And I just thought, you know, this is really amazing, beautiful work that should be shared with more than the few people that I can actually touch myself. And so it was time to get the work out there in a form that could then spread this around the globe.
So how do you hope that your writing will inspire others, like globally? Because that's a beautiful thing about writing a book, is that it has the expansiveness to really cover not only across the globe territory, but also the idea of being a legacy that lives on forever. So how do you hope that will look for your writing?
Well, this trilogy of books, the first is going to be published by Balboa Press and should be available mid-2014. And it will be called Active Meditation, Close the Gap Between Mind and Body. And that book is going to be about lifestyle and how to be in this more spirited relationship with your body in life. It's not about exercise. It's about how energy moves and how alignment works. And this relationship that I started talking about with gravity and centrifugal force. And it really is a way of, it'll be a book that connects you to the fundamentals of Taoism, but in a way that's all about you, not about Taoism. And it will be, I believe, very inspiring for the general reader. And it will be the foundational book for the first stage of the teacher training program. And so then the second book will revolve around the fitness program and the second a relaxation technique. So then those books can be useful for those who are coming in with already an interest in fitness or already an interest in body work or, you know, various meditation and relaxation techniques. I mean, this is all about active meditation. You don't have to be physically still to be in a meditative state. And so I think all three of these books are going to be inspiring to the general reader, but they're also going to be structured so that the people who are interested in becoming instructors and therapists can actually get on board and start introducing this technique in various, whether they're wellness programs, privately, fitness arenas, wherever, you know, things evolve. It's interesting. Up until now, I have basically been teaching Body Logos in the fitness arena. But I will say, even though yoga has become so big, it's like a lot of these classes are called some combination of power yoga or, you know, the fitness industry can have, let's just say, a bit of a hyper mentality around anything that you bring into its location. And so I'm actually trying to find some arenas that might be a softer environment to teach strength so that people stop looking at the end result and start being really in the moment and in their bodies. So I see it growing through the number of people who are able to present and through the books reaching the general public.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Really wonderful. So what do you think are the three most important personal tips you would like to possibly share around what you teach and around what you found as far as the achievement and fulfillment in endeavoring on writing these books about what you teach?
Let's see. That's a loaded question. Let's see. I would say that the first thing I would like to say is don't underestimate the knowledge that your body has. It is sometimes considered by some just a container in which the mind and the spirit live. But it is so much more than that, and it comes with so much knowledge. So one is to recognize that your body has knowledge for you. The second thing is to learn to listen. And I had an old friend that always said, We got two ears and one mouth for a reason. Listen. And learning to listen to the body is how you learn who you are as a spiritual being. That's where you feel from. And feeling is how we connect to the world. Not so much in the thinking, but in the actual feeling. And it's a very different practice, feeling over thinking. So the second thing I would have to say is take time to feel the reward of everything that you do and not let it just be a bunch of tasks that you're trying to perform and get done. You know, sometimes people go through the motions in exercise or at work or in life in any way and forget to feel what they're doing when they're doing it, so that they can actually win the prize of having done such a whatever they're doing. So it's know how much your body has to offer. Listen to its messages. And what would be my third thing? I guess my third would be this. We are taught to do stuff, whatever it might be. And there's a whole lot of importance on doing stuff. We don't really get taught how to not do, non-action, and the value of being still. And I think that it's really, really important to value relaxation and non-action in the same way that we value action and productivity. And I don't mean that in a way that's sort of says, oh, just lay around on the couch and do nothing and be a couch potato watching TV or something. That's not necessarily relaxation. But it is recognizing that in every movement that you make, there is an action and a counteraction. There is a contraction and a release. And you can choose to focus on the release instead of focusing on the action. Or you can choose to focus on both of them, or, you know, you have options. So my third point is really to honor how important relaxation and release is and put attention on it.
Oh, those are such valuable tips, really valuable tips. So how do you think you would like readers to grasp the message that are going to be in your books? What is the overall outcome that you would love to have readers receive?
Peace. Peace within themselves, peace between each other. This is really about finding peace. I mean, it's really that simple.
And, you know, it's simple, but it is so critical, and it's something that I think very few of us really experience all the time or even a good portion of the time. What would you recommend for people to be able to really uncover that? If there's one thing that you would recommend on a daily basis for people to really experience that peace or be able to call upon it at times of need, but what would that be?
Well, I would say take a little time every day to feel the weight of your bones, because in the middle of that action and counteraction, that contraction and that release, is either a bone or a space. And if you take a moment every day or every hour and just feel the weight of your bones and almost use your imagination, see yourself as a skeleton, and as you're sitting or walking or stretching or doing whatever you're doing, just see that skeleton moving and start to see where there's excess tension around that skeleton, and see if you can't free that skeleton up just a little bit, because that's where your spirit lives, in the depths of your body, in your bones, and in your center.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, you know, when you drop into that very quiet, into your bones, it feels very quiet. You're not worried about all the stuff. The minute your attention goes back into your muscles, you start thinking and feeling emotional responses to things. You start feeling judgments. You start feeling expectations. You start feeling all sorts of stuff. But when you stay in your bones, all of that disappears, and you become quiet very, very quickly.
That is so interesting. Really, really an interesting concept. So tell me a little bit about how you create balance between the concept of really being in alignment with your intention and your inspiration, and the other side of getting a book done or developing a program. There's so many physical elements that go into that. How do you balance the two to come to a successful place?
So we're now talking about the writing process, right?
Oh, it can be the writing process. It can be developing a program. You know, whatever it is that's very physical and process-oriented that, you know, maybe has a project plan attached to it, as
yeah.
opposed to the inspirational side of things, where I know for me, I personally prefer to live. You know, how do you balance that in order to come to success?
Well, one of the things that I have done personally in the process of trying to put both the books and the teacher training program together, they're kind of happening simultaneously, is to not be too rigid with myself about when it's supposed to be done. Because if I do that, my mind is on the outcome instead of in the process. So if I can keep myself in the process, the one thing that I am very strict about is I write every day. So I work at this, developing this every day. And sometimes it's one sentence on the page. Sometimes I change one word. Sometimes I'm just pacing in my apartment on an idea until I find where the message is in what I'm trying to say, you know. But I spend time with this project every single day. And then I'm lucky enough to have a private practice and, you know, teaching schedule of classes where I get to then use everything that I'm writing about and developing in the process. I get to use it right away and explore how I'm communicating it with people immediately to then refine it so that when it finally gets to the published book, it's really quite combed out. And so, you know, I guess my process has been to just keep going one foot in front of the other, every day do writing, but not put a lot of pressure on when it has to be done. Be in the process. There was one point where I thought I thought I was done with one of the books, and all of a sudden I went, a whole pocket of very interesting information started coming up, and I started to feel like I was a scientist, sort of delving into how energy and our body and Taoism and all its principles all go together. I mean, it was all very, very interesting to me. And it created a whole aspect of the book that I hadn't originally intended. But it was so interesting that, you know, of course it had to go into the books. And so if I had been rigid about when the project had to be done, I would have not allowed that expansion to happen. So I just try to be very diligent about regular, you know, my daily involvement with the work and just keep moving forward.
Well, that is fantastic. And I was just curious if people out there, you know, my belief is that we all have a very individual story to tell. And it's not just an honor, but it's almost an obligation for us to leave a legacy of putting that in print and writing that in whatever way we choose to do that, mm-hmm. particularly in a book. So what would you say that you would like your legacy to be?
I think my expertise is really in being able to balance between action and non-action, between contraction and release, between speaking and listening, you know, really being able to sit in the middle and be and feel with that. So, you know, if my legacy can be one where where I can help people stop thinking and start feeling, that would be great. I would love that to be my legacy.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And if people are kind of stuck in the ability to be able to do that, to express themselves in a book or in life in general, what advice would you give them to get them unstuck?
Well, you know, first of all, it's identifying it. I don't know if we always realize when we're stuck. And I think that we all know that have experienced the difference about having an intention and being inspired. I can have an intention to teach a class, and that class, that one-hour class, can feel like 3 hours and drudgery. That's intention, but it's not inspired. When I'm inspired and I teach that one-hour class, I think it feels like 5 minutes when the hour's up. You know, like time stands still when you're inspired. So the first thing is to identify when you're stuck. So when it's hard, when it's just drudgery, that's when you're stuck and you need to adjust. And so I would say when you find yourself in that place where you're no longer enjoying what you're doing and it's just hard work, that you need to stop doing what you're doing, get up, walk around, have a drink of water, do a few stretches if you need to, whatever it is, but get up on your feet and move around. And then come back to it, sit down, feel your bones, relax, and begin to recognize what it is that is pulling you out of the inspiration. Because the inspiration is always there, it's in you. But all of those holding patterns, all of that mental stuff is blocking that inspired connection to what you're doing to come forward. So it's really, if you can sit down and feel your weight and relax, you start to the first things you're going to feel are some of the physical pains in your body from holding tight, but then you're going to start to feel the emotional fears that are actually blocking you from what's happening. And as that comes forward and you really see, oh, I'm just afraid that I'm not good enough, or God, I'm just afraid that nobody will publish me. Oh, I'm just afraid, whatever it is, we all have our own, you know, recording that goes on in our head, and we can just see that that's just this voice that is, I'll have these voices that, I'll even give them a name. Like I used to have this one little identity that would always have me looking out the window at the people walking by and where are they going? What are they doing? Are they in a happy relationship? And, you know, I'm just a daydreamer, right? Very easy for me to just go out the window and get lost out there. And I would call this part of my personality Mr. Bojangles. So I'd go, come on, Bojangles, you're going to be allowed to go outside in about an hour, but for right now, we're going to just focus right here. And I'd have a little conversation with Bojangles, and then I could concentrate again. I gave him a moment of my attention, and I let that part of my identity, who's an explorer out in the world and curious about people, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not even a recording that's saying I'm not good enough, but it is something that's distracting me. So if I can keep giving attention to what comes up and not just trying to squash it down, because squashing it down doesn't work, it just comes up again. You need to give it attention, give it a place, and then go back to what you're doing. And once you get some of these distractions out of your way, then you can, your inspiration will come up again. It's always there. Just always know it's there.
That is so incredible. So tell me, you've inspired so many others. What inspires you, Tammy?
Animals, I guess, nature. I love nature. I love animals. I think you heard my bird squawking just a few minutes ago. I got a parrot here in the house. I ride a motorcycle. I love to garden. I live in New York City, but I have a nice big garden terrace. And, I think connecting to the earth is really important to me.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Well, you know, time with you had just flown, Tammy, and I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate your sharing all of this fabulous information and all the inspiration. If someone would like to hold it, and by all means, continue the conversation and connect with you, with your programs and the other marvelous things you're doing. Where can they reach you on the web?
They can go to bodylogos.com, and everything that's going on is there. There's a DVD with the fitness technique that's already out, and the books will be available through there as well. As I said, the first book is coming out mid-2014. With the title Active Meditation, Close the Gap Between Mind and Body, and that'll be with Balboa Press, a division of Hay House.
Fantastic. So that's bodylogos.com, right?
Correct, yes.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, and I know so many people listening will take the opportunity to connect with you and learn more about all the amazing things you're doing. And if you out there would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing and Family of Opportunity, You can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.